It's still, even with the pin diodes, it's still right down there. No, quite a ways down, actually.
Well, you know, all these IMD specs, second, third, fourth, harmonic specs and all that, it's fine and dandy. And it's nice to know, you know, where they fall and all this. But quite honestly, I'm more concerned about the baseband. What's happening at the baseband level, you know, the intended audio passband, what's happening there? And so these numbers to me are somewhat irrelevant. You know, you can have a radio with a great IMD spec, but it can still sound like crap.
Oh, absolutely. This isn't the Bible list here. I think all this, and I think he'll tell you that too. He'll tell you just because one rates above the other doesn't mean that's the one for your application. You know, but I think he just puts this out. Well, this started a few years back. What, early 2000s or something? He started doing this. I can't remember now. And what prompted it, I have no idea. But I think it was arguments between the manufacturers who had the best dynamic range, you know, with close spacing. This guy sticks him on his bench and he tells you the facts instead of what the factory wants you to believe.
Well, I can tell you one thing. I don't know. I guess if Sherwood did all these themselves, that's fine. I hope that they didn't take the factory specs and just put them in the list here and sort them that way. Because, you know, when the 850 was initially tested by I don't know whoever tested, you know, QRZ or whoever the technical staff on one of these ham radio publications, you know how they test new radios that come out on the market. I remember somebody telling me about the 850 when it first came out. It was tested and did really poor. And it's because Kenwood had made a mistake in their beta rig. It hadn't been released yet. It was a sample rig they gave to the testing company. And Kenwood was surprised with the test results and found out that there was a problem with the rig that they sent. So they corrected the problem and sent another rig to be retested. And whoever the publication was that tested it refused it. They would not take the new rig. They said, no, our measurements are final and that's the way it is. And they really got a bad rap for their bad IMD specs, all because of a rig that they sent that was out of whack. And I remember somebody telling me that. So there you go. Whenever specs are published by these third-party investigators may not necessarily be representative of the radios that are actually being offered.
Yeah, I could see where that'd be true, especially if they didn't accept, the updated or upgraded model. That's I know he'll do the same thing. You know, manufacturers will send him a rig and he'll run it through the paces and then post the results. But if you look down his list, you'll see where they've got updated ones, you know. You'll see stuff that says added a certain date, and you'll see some that say updated with a certain date. That's a newer version. So he gladly takes the newer version, but then he'll post both results. If you, like, you'll see an updated something. If you go down the list, you'll see the original, not what the improvements were. It's kind of neat. In fact, I just looked at the 850 one with the NRADs isn't updated, done in 06, so that would be 4/17/06. So that'd be quite a ways past manufacture date, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, I just found that. Hey, at least I'm in the top half.
Well, you know, that anything that's on, I read somewhere, I don't know if it was on his site or somebody else's, But anything he even tests is good stuff. There's some rigs, some of the lower dollar ones, I guess they don't even do.
You mean he didn't test the Radio Shack ham radio?
I don't think they get into that stuff, no.
They don't make an all-band HF rig anyway. I think they just made a 10-year rig, didn't they?
I'm not even sure, John, but that sounds about right. Yeah, I don't think they did anything but that little mobile. And if I remember right, didn't Uniden or somebody make that for Radio Shack?
Yeah.
I found the 870. It's down a page or so below the 850.
Wow, good.
I do not see the 950 in there at all, though.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised.
And the 9M.
And 9VR.
Boy, I need a new fall windscreen for my mic. This thing's falling apart.
I was looking through some stuff the other day, and somebody's got a package that you can buy the large foam windscreens. I don't know if they'd fit the 7, but they'll fit most of the, like the RE style mics, like what I have, the RE 320 or 20s, that size of thing. You buy this package, there's like 5 different colors in there, yellow, red, green, black.
Yeah, I don't care for those big puffy windscreens for the SM7 anyway. I like the thin cylindrical one.
Well, that great big puffy one on the 7 actually cuts the audio back.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of foam there. Heck, you could use that thing outside in the windstorm, couldn't you?
Oh, man. I'll tell you what, if you could mount that on your nose would never get cold.
That'd be a good windsock for Rudolph.
I used to, when I have mine, if I wanted to up the audio, sometimes I'd slide that thing off and go without it. Yeah, I mean, it really did restrict it.
Testing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Yeah, it lets a little bit more upper mid-range in, I can tell that.
Yeah, it's funny how that makes a difference. I bought some windscreens at the foam ones at Radio Shack one time. And they weren't thick, but they was a real, real dense. And, them things knocked about 50% of the audio down.
Yeah, they really destroy the upper mid-range and highs.
Oh, it was horrible. I ended up throwing them away.
I washed this windsock, but I'm afraid it would dissolve.
Yeah, I take mine and put it in some warm water with a little bit of, dish soap, Dawn dish soap or something, and wash it real good, then rinse it out, and let it sit and dry for half a day. That voice smells real pretty when I put it back on.
Yeah, when you sent your SM7 over here for me to test, and by the way, do you remember why you sent me that SM7 to test?
No, I can't remember now. Something was going on with your ears, wasn't it? Wanted to make sure it wasn't the mic. What the heck was that?
It was that 60-cycle burp that happens every once in a while. I wanted to see if it was specific to my mic.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot about that.
And it wasn't. Yours did the same thing.
Yep, I remember.
I haven't heard mine do that in a while. And I don't know what causes it, but just every so often. And it doesn't hurt anything, but it... Have you ever heard it do it?
Yeah, I remember hearing yours a couple times doing it back when he was checking out the other mic.
Yep, and it's something to do with, not the mic, but it's something to do with the preamp. because Ricky has the Malari MP110 also, and it does exactly the same thing, only with the SM7.
Well, that's interesting. As a matter of fact, I think I heard it with your 7 and my 7 when you had it on there. I think we heard it on both of them.
Yep.
And then, if I remember right, Dave wanted to try it, so I just had to ship it to Dave, right?
Dave.
NU9H.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he bought it, right?
Yeah, he liked it, so he wrote me one if I wanted to sell it, and I said, sure, make me an offer. So he did. He bought it.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, what amazed me, though, was the consistency. That SM7 of yours didn't sound a penny different than mine. I mean, you couldn't tell which one was which. That's pretty good.
That's saying a lot for sure, isn't it?
Yeah, they're very consistent. Yeah, I was actually considering upgrading to the SM7B if that hum burst problem was gone, but it wasn't. So, now was yours the A or the B?
The B.
Okay, so you have the latest.
Yeah, that was bought new in either 99 or 2000.
Yeah, see, I bought this thing here back in 87.
It was just an impressive looking mic. I mean, that's why I bought it. It just looked cool.
Yeah, it is a cool looking mic.
Still one of my favorites as far as just, you know, appearance. And they don't sound too shabby either.
Yeah, that's what I like about this one. I like the way the low end is very focused on this mic.
I do too, John. In fact, I would have stayed with that and ran it. But the way my shack's configured now and the boom, my boom's pretty lightweight. And that mic was load for this boom. That's one of the reasons I went to the PR40. And then that was okay. I didn't like it as much as the SM7B, though. But then I went to the, bought this RE320, and it satisfied me.
That 320 is a nice mic.
Yeah, to me it sounded more like the SM7B did than the PR40.
Yep. Yeah, you just need a good shock mount now.
Hey, I'm gonna have to do that one of these days. That hum I was got here. Oh, what was it, a month or so ago? Remember that 250 hertz hum I had?
Yeah. How'd you get rid of that?
I have no idea. I don't even know what it was.
Oh, it's gone, huh?
Yeah. Whatever it was, just quit. Maybe it was my mixer.
Yeah, you know, I had a problem like that for a while too, and it ended up being the transformer for the Malari, you know, the wall wart transformer. So I finally went to Radio Shack and got a transformer that was rated the same way and plugged it in, and I haven't heard it since.
Yeah, never did figure out what that was. I could actually see the hum on the real-time display there on the 2496. And everything would be real quiet. All the bars would be down. And that 250 hertz bar would be up an eighth inch. You know, you could actually see it. And I was going around checking everything, you know, listening to everything. Where in the heck is that coming from? And I never found it.
So maybe it was not vibration getting through to the boom, huh?
Well, it sure seemed like it, but evidently not, because I haven't changed a thing. I don't know, so if it was something being vibrated through the boom, and that's mounted to some cabinets, it would have to have been the cabinets mounted to the wall. I mean, hell, who knows where it could have been coming from, but whatever it was, it quit.
And you haven't rearranged anything?
Not a thing. I mean, I've checked. I had a stethoscope that my daughter uses, you know. I brought that down here, and I was checking everything. I could hear it. I just couldn't figure out where it was coming from, because it was strong all over.
once in a while I'll be sitting up here and I'll hear something banging against something in the shack here, like a you know, and I'm like, what is that? And well, what it ends up being is Karen's got the dryer going downstairs on the first floor. And you know how when a load gets uneven in your dryer and the tub starts to bang, you know? Well, evidently it sends little shock waves through the house. And something in the shack here then is close enough to hitting something where I actually hear the knocking up here. real subtle shock waves, but it resonates up here.
Oh, that's funny. That just shows you how sensitive that is.
You'd never think it would make it that far, would you?
Well, I kind of think this 250 hertz buzz I had is something similar. Probably something that was running here that, for some reason, created that buzz for a day. Ooh, and I gotta refill my coffee cup, John. Give me a minute here. I just went to grab some, and it's a Hout N9VR.
Oh, don't you hate that? Well, I'll tell you what, I'll do the same. I'll be back as well. And you know.